The following recording is for Camelia Ferreira of I-5 on Friday, July 26, 2013 at 10 a.m. Central Time. Good day. My name is Katie and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Mega Cable conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, we will open for a questions and answers period. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Melanie Carpenter. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Megacable's second quarter 2013 conference call. Thank you very much for participating today. At this time, I'd like to present Megacable's CEO, Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, the Deputy Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, and finally, Mr. Luis Setter, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. They will be taking your questions during the Q&A session. It's important to mention that statements made today may constitute forward-looking statements, which do not account for future economic circumstances, company performance, or financial results. These are subject to different conditions. For a complete note on forward-looking statements, we ask that you please refer to the quarterly release, which went out yesterday. If you didn't receive the information and would like to be added to Megacable's mailing list, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3691. And at this time, Mr. Yamuni will begin his presentation, so please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. To our audience today, thank you for participating in Megacable's call, and as always, we appreciate your interest in the company. For those of you who have been following Megacable's evolution in recent years, you know that we have consistently invested in infrastructure to meet the growing challenge of a dynamic and fast-paced market environment. The Mexican telecommunications industry has undergone a series of revolutionary changes in which modernization and digitalization have been the key to successfully keeping up with modernization and digitalization. To top it all off, the regulatory changes that I will discuss shortly have really pushed Megacable into the forefront of the industry. We are confident that we have not only met the challenge, we are also one of the most exciting telecom stories in the region today. This revolution has been led by a growing middle class and strong small medium business segment in Mexico, who increasingly sees the need for high-speed internet services, top video quality, and a broader range of products, as well as a competitive pricing. Megacable's ability to offer digitalized service enable us to generate a range of entertainment options, including HD channels, VOD, SVOD, pay-per-view. We expect even more high-quality cable products to be unveiled to the public in the near future. This brings me to pricing, which is one of the most important developments of 2013. Megacable's ability to reach an even broader range of consumers with a competitive pricing and bundling. This brings me to the government regulation I mentioned under the proposed Must Carry, Must Offer bill. Cable operators such as Megacable have the ability to distribute air channels without paying additional charges. This ruling is expected to materialize in September of 2013. On another note, the fast integration of technology, industry, and application has brought new challenges for Megacable's constant sustainable development. We remain focused on the implementation of a new IPG, or Interactive Program Guide, for a user interface. This new solution of middleware is based on a completely redesigned user interface that will improve the customer's TV experience upon accessing video content. Regarding content generation, during the first half of 2013, Megacable focused efforts on updating the content distribution platform by committing major capital expenditures to allow the company to be technologically ready for new video and content formats in order to continue providing the best possible video quality. We will continue to seek for expansion opportunities through acquisitions and also pushing the growth of our network for organic expansion. During the second quarter of 2013, Megacable approved a dividend of 568 million pesos payable in two installments. The first was paid on May 2nd for 284 million pesos, and the second installment will be paid in October 2013 for a similar amount of money. To all the shareholders of the stock, this is in line with our objective of maximizing shareholders' value as well as provide stock liquidity. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, who briefly reviews some of the key operating highlights.
Good morning, everyone. I would like to start by mentioning that this quarter, Megacable delivered record gross revenues of 12% year-over-year, while the EBITDA growth was 15%, which was achieved due to the addition of more than 320,000 RUs from the second quarter of 2012 to the second quarter of 2013, and increasing ARPU in all our products. This as a result of a successful business strategy aimed to increase individual customer revenue by increasing the quality and quantity of services, as well as an increase in some packages rates while being selective with customer retention. During this quarter, all our main products, video, internet, and telephony, presented subscriber growth. The video segment rose 6% in the number of subscribers year over year, with approximately 117,000 net adds, while 1% for a net addition of more than 14,000 for the quarter. On the other hand, the internet segment registered an increase of 20%, implying net additions of 145,000 year over year and 14,000 net additions during this quarter, an increase of 2% in that product. Finally, telephony segment registered a 12% increase with 59,000 net additions year over year, representing net adds of 2,000 for the quarter, remaining the number of subscribers in line with first quarter 2013. The monthly average churn rate increased 39 and 12 basis points in video and telephony service, respectively, while it decreased 17 basis points in internet from second quarter 12 to second quarter 13. This is a result of the very selective retention campaign I mentioned before. In our video platform, Megacable continues the deployment of HD and VOD services across their main system. The HD signals have been upgraded to 50 in new cities, and the capacity and number of interactive video assets were increased as well. More studios, movies, and series are integrated, plus the catch-up of our linear channels. All this content as a part of our SVOD product. Finally, the OTT over-the-top platform is already in the final stages of validation. We are very confident that this platform will add tremendous value to our customers, who will have access to our content at any place, any time, and through any device, and it will enhance the SVOD offer as well, with the ability to be seen both on TV and in any device. We continue to operate the network to provide the best not only video and telephony, but internet service at the right price. During second quarter 2013, the majority of our broadband subscribers who have a minimum of 5 megabits have been migrated to 10 megabits, and the launch of wideband services of up to 20, 50, and 100 megabits are deployed. The network, therefore, continues to be upgraded to DOCSIS 3.0 platform. Also, during this quarter, we increased the bandwidth capacity of our affiliate GTAC in order to support the increase of customer bandwidth demands and, at the same time, helping Megacable reduce internet costs while delivering world-class service not only to Megacable resident subscribers, but to our business and carrier customers as well. This further confirms that it was a great cost reduction strategy. We are confident that this will enhance Megacable's capacity for the future, giving us the ability to remain a broadband market leader by offering the highest speed at the most competitive price all across the country. As a constant improvement strategy in our IT infrastructure, we are significantly investing on enabling the network to take on the next generation of services. In this year, at the end of this year, we will complete the detailed design of our ITV 6 architecture, allowing us to be years ahead in terms of technology evolution. We are also performing a huge improvement in our transport network to transform that into a much more resilient structure. The aforementioned are all exciting developments that are relying on the strategies we have discussed earlier, as well as popular market trends. These are, of course, subject to change throughout the year. However, we will update you as needed. Thank you for your attention. Luis Cesar will now do a brief financial review.
Thank you, Raimundo. Let's go now to the most important aspects of the financials. Megacable's consolidated service revenue increased 12% from the second quarter last year to the second quarter of this year, reaching over 2.4 billion pesos. As Raimundo mentioned, these were record numbers for the company. On a per-segment basis, video contributed 60% of revenue, with internet 22% and telephony 13%. Consolidated EBITDA rose 15% compared to the second quarter of 2012, reaching 1,062 million pesos, an EBITDA margin of 43.4%. Adjusted EBITDA for cable operations rose 15% year-over-year to 1,045 million pesos, reaching a margin over cable revenue of 44.5%. Net income totaled 519 million pesos and rose 17% year-over-year. Regarding cash position, Megacable continues to consistently generate cash despite the significant investment in technology, CapEx, and the dividend payment. Cash and temporary investment decreased only 60 million pesos or 2% compared to the second quarter of 2012 and declined 2% compared to the first quarter of 2013. Net debt at June 30th was negative. We have a net cash position of 880 million pesos. Megacable continues to generate free cash flow quarter to quarter and strategically invest in the business to prepare it for the future. Properties, systems, and equipment net increased 19% or 1,893 million pesos from the purchase of TV set boxes for the digitalization project, as well as the recognition of GTEC assets, the construction of new kilometers of network, and the acquisition of equipment, among others. Megacable invested 513 million pesos in the second quarter of 2013, reaching 928 million year to date, mainly allocated towards the purchase of terminal subscriber equipment, growth and modernization of the cable network, as well as the purchase of fixed assets. Finally, regarding the financial structure, we would like to highlight that we have completed the agreement with the banks to refinance the entire amount on the loan we have with them for another three-year period. Thank you for your attention. That is all for our presentation. We look forward to your questions. Operator, please begin with the Q&A session.
Thank you, sir. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key. That is star one on your touchtone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star 2. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from Hermino Parduno from GBM Global.
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and congratulations on this quarter results. I have three questions, if I may. The first one is if you could comment on the ARPU difference between digitalized video clients and non-digitalized clients. The second one would be if you could comment a little bit more on what is behind the increasing telephony ARPUs in the last two quarters. I mean, I would have expected a decreasing trend mostly. And the third question would be if you could give us more color on GTAC and what should we expect going forward in terms of cost reduction. I mean, how much of this quarter's expansion in gross margin came from lower connection costs due to the usage in GTEC? Thank you very much.
Yes, this is Raimundo. Let me see. We have three questions here. Regarding the ARPU of digitalized subscribers, this one is about, Luis, you have that number. We're talking about adding $3 to $4 free motion that far in the revenue of that subscriber on that part while charging for the additional subscriber and that and migrating new ones. We expect that to get to $5 per subscriber in the digitalized subscriber in the near future. We will depend a lot on the launch of the SVOD services and HD 2 years for the 2013 and 2014 to see how the market performs. Right now what we are doing is charging an additional monthly rent for programming costs. Since the programmers are charging to us, we are charging to the customers. That doesn't bring to us additional margin or significant margin. We are charging also for the rent of the set-top box, and that's something that we the market has adopted, and we can do for that. So that's what's really contributing, the additional. And the other product that brings ARPU to us, and we're excited about that, is the SVOD that we launched in three or four of our main systems, mostly here in Guadalajara. That SVOD platform, like I mentioned in my speech, brought new content. We have 4,000 hours of content provided in a non-linear basis, which brings movies, series, and child programs for the subscribers, and we're expecting that to be tied to the OTT platform that we are ready to launch in the next 60 to 90 days. That will give us a very complete and robust product, and that one is something that we can charge for that. We're targeting to be able to bring between $3 to $5 per subscriber on that part, as long as we can be good in terms of selling those new packages into the market. Remember also, in terms of the ARPU, that ARPU is mixed with the penetration that we have with low-end rate packages. So all our digital strategy is aimed to keep the ARPU pretty much the way we are, and hopefully, like we did in this quarter, to increase the ARPU compared to what we have before. We do not expect the ARPU to continue to raise in the years to come. We expect the ARPU to remain pretty much the same. Also, in terms of telephony, what we did is, like I mentioned, we have double and triple play packages. We migrate subscribers, and we put more products into the subscriber base. We have a campaign that is called Segmented to Win or to Earn. That means trying to get more products into the A, B, and middle class services compared to the lower end. You know, we felt that was we need to target the low end segment with lower output products, and that's where we have the big churn that you see, and that's where we're selected in terms of retention of the customers. You know, we have customers that we need to go to their house 6 or 7 times of the year just to receive the payment, and that they don't contribute to the margin of the company. That's where we're being selected. On the other one, we're setting unlimited calls to the subscribers, both national and also international to North America. We added also some calls to cellular that make us increase. And you know how it is. You put 100 calls to cellular, they use 30 or 40, but they pay for 100. That's pretty much what the secret of packaging means. That's how we increase the output of telephony too. And in terms of GTAC, like we mentioned, we did increase the capacity of GTAC again of our subsidiary because we migrate some of our subscribers from 5 to 10 megabits. We launched the wideband services to 20, 50, and 100. We are ready to launch more than 100, which in the market still can't figure it out the difference between 100 and 120 minutes or 150 in that terms. If you are efficient in the service, 100 is a very, very good speed. And GTAC received part of our investment, and the cost reduction that we have, it will not be more than what we have right now coming into the future. We already have the reduction in the cost of internet, and that's why we're able to increase our revenue 12% while our cost increased only 6%. If you see the cost is in line with the subscriber growth, and not if you ask internet that we have year over year 18 to 19% growth in subscribers, our cost of internet is helping us our margins on that part.
Yeah, the value added of GTAC, the GTAC backbone,
is not only and is not mainly also the reduction of the cost of the long haul that we have now. It's the ability to become or to remain very, very competitive, so we can raise the speeds that we offer to the subscribers without having to worry about a humongous cost. Okay, we are able to do that without incurring in higher or prohibited cost structure. We don't have to deal with that anymore. We have our own long haul, and we can take advantage of that because we can. We are at the same level that our competition is, which is mainly American Mobile, Telmex, other players like Axtel or anyone else, that they also have their own backhaul. So we are in a very good competitive position to do that. Even though we talk about savings, because if we didn't have DTAC, we did the strategy of raising the speeds of the subscribers at that competitive speed, and having to incur in excess cost, well, we can do that. So we are saving money with that number.
So in terms of net-to-net numbers, savings per quarter are now in terms of around 30 million per quarter.
Pesos.
Yes, 30 million pesos per quarter. And we started reducing or getting some of these benefits on the last quarter of 2012. So we will continue to have this type of benefits for the third quarter, and will be slightly lower if you compare year to year on this item. But as Enrique mentioned, the benefit is not only in terms of the cost, but in terms of margin, it represents a higher number because of the ability we have now to provide higher speeds and better offers to our customers.
Just perfectly understood the first and last questions, and just a final remark on the second one. So the ARPU increase in telephony is sustainable going forward, right?
We expect that to happen.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Enrique, Raimundo, and Luis, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Our next question comes from Alejandro Galestra from BBVA.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm trying to understand why the churn rate doesn't come down faster given the digitalization of the network and the upgrades in internet speeds among your client base. Because I would have expected this to offset the more selective strategies for retaining and attracting customers.
Yes, Alejandro, thank you for the question. Like I said, what we do is we go for the subscriber and we try to retain him by bringing back to the company with promotion, saying, okay, I'll go for you on the 15th and 30th of the month when you have the money, and go back and on. The show hasn't come because we have that subscriber base in lower economically areas in some selective systems. This does not affect us in everything, but we're very targeted to areas of Mexico with lower economic level where the people can afford to pay it. We figured it out that we were going 3 or 4 times again for the same subscriber. So we are very targeted in that area of the company internally, not to bring back subscribers and to disconnect when they don't pay you, not going for them. That's why we're losing some subscribers in some areas that did not contribute to the margin. On the other hand, what we did is focus our sales force and opening new form of sales pop in middle to upper class, where we are bringing new products to subscribers with a higher ARPU, and selling to the existing middle to upper class the advanced services like HD and SVOD. That's part of our strategy. We expect the churn to decrease in the future in those segments. Hopefully we will be able to do that. and being more selective, like you mentioned, on the sales, targeting to who really can pay and stay within the company. So we can manage a better OPEX in terms of sales commission and cost of drop, and a higher ARPU coming from the subscribers. That's our strategy in general.
Okay, and you also showed an improvement in your margins both year on year and on a sequential basis. And I was wondering if you could quantify that in terms of how much this comes from the slowdown in net additions.
We will need to really do the numbers. We have not really made the numbers already, but we can make the numbers and send you an email with the figures.
Yeah, we'll give you a call, Alejandro.
All right, thank you. So just let me ask you something else, if I may. Are you currently selling idle capacity from your GTAC network to other operators?
Oh, yes, sure. Like I said, in the speech, but I was really fast, that part of GTAC, like Enrique was saying, give us three things: of course, reduction, but mostly the ability to provide higher bandwidth to the existing subscribers and controlling the network from the point of the CPE at the subscriber home to the connection to the tier one. That gives us a strong competitive advantage as a telco company in that part, but also give us the ability to provide telco services from the last mile to the transport from one city to the other city. So part of our revenues that you have there, also if you see our business units at MCM and Metro Carrier, they have a good results also on increasing, mostly by selling those not only to carriers but to corporate and businesses and government on that part. So that's part of when some of you ask us what other products or services are we target to, what we see is that we will continue to run this company trying to get the numbers we are forecasting by adding value-added service on the residential, but also supporting us on the business segment that we have, all contributed to the results of the company.
Okay, and could you give us an approximate figure of how much revenue could you generate by selling this idle capacity to other carriers?
Okay, to other carriers we have around 3% of the revenue, pretty much what we have. What we have is also another 5 to 6% that is being sold to SMBs and middle-sized companies, and that's where we're targeting also our cloud services by the end of this year, and transport and telephony to hotels and restaurants. That's where we're targeting.
All right, so overall between 8 and 9% of revenues, you said, right?
Yes.
Overall? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press *1 at this time. Our next question comes from Andreas Mezianmuro from GMB. I'm sorry, GBM.
Thank you. Good morning, guys. Congratulations on the results. I was wondering if you could quantify the range and the timing of the effect of the must carry, must offer for you guys, or if you are planning to pass it through to the end customer. And also I was wondering if you could give us a quick recap of your guidance for the end of the year. Thanks.
Is that you, Andres? Hi, Andres, this is Raimundo, Luis, and Enrique. I don't know, Enrique, if you want to say something about the range. Enrique mentioned in the speech that we're targeting that for September. That's where we expect that to be taking place. We're working to see how that ends, and we're very confident that we will have that by that day. Expect for September, 1st of October, that we will have that implemented in all our systems, both with television, TVSEC, and that part. We are not targeting right now in passing that to the subscribers. That's a call that we have there. We are considering to have a much more efficient company and target that to more products and being more aggressive in the low-end segments of the part, but we will remain that saving for ourselves and make the company more competitive in that part. That's at least what we're expecting right now. And the other one was the guidance that you asked. Okay, please, you want to say something about the guidance?
Sure. We keep our guidance in terms of revenue and EBITDA, so we still have the same expectation in terms of growth on revenue, 10%, on EBITDA, we expect around 9%. What we are changing a little bit is the guidance for subscribers. Given the results we have so far and the strategy that the company is following on attracting the customers with a higher ARPU, and also that we don't want to retain those that really are not bringing benefit to the company, we are resetting our expectations in terms of video subscribers to grow 8.5%. On the internet side, 18%.
To 19.
18 to 19. And telephony, slightly changing maybe from 12 to 11. So basically those are the numbers we're expecting for the end of the year.
And Andres, let me go back again to your point about the passing through because of the Moscari Motocon. We did have in the past, and we you see that in our cost structure, that we have pressure from the market in terms of a lowering rates to the subscribers, having a smaller packages to the low end, but also increasing cost of programming in the last 2 to 3 years, coming from content from different sources. Including, of course, at that time, Televisa. So that part was affecting us, which means lower output and increasing cost of programming, which is our higher cost. Now is when we're taking back that saving to compensate what we have in the past with other programmers that will receive increases by more channels because of competition and because of cost that they were bringing. Even though we fight, like you know we do all the time, with them in pricing, we did have in the last 2 to 3 years increasing the number of channels in the basic package. You know, we went from 50 to 60 to 80, and that pressure is time to take it back compared to the output. You know, return that to what we have. We don't know how far can we go or where this is going to end on the Moscari offer also, but we are very confident that savings will take in place.
Thank you. And just one more question, if I could. Regarding your net cash position by the end of the year, assuming no additional acquisitions, where should we expect this level? And if we were to assume no additional acquisitions, could we expect the dividend going upwards? Thank you.
Right. Well, you know that for 2013, the dividend has been, released, and the only thing pending is the payment of the second installment that will happen in October, and that will not change for this year. And related to the net cash position, given the dividend and the capex that we have for the second part of the year, we expect to finish around 1,100 million pesos in net cash position. So we expect that to grow from 1,100 to 1,200 maybe.
Net cash.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1 at this time. Our next question comes from Andreas Coillo from Scotiabank.
Yes, hello guys, good morning. I'm sorry to be a little bit pushy on this issue, but I guess the big question now is how much you guys will still pay Televisa after most offer rules are implemented. I understand that they currently sell you for $2 per month 15 channels, of which Channel 2 and Channel 5 are obviously the most important channels. So for the other 13 channels, how important are those channels to you? I remember that you guys disconnected Televisión Azteca when those guys charged excessive prices, and you disconnected Azteca for nearly a year. So I just wanted to know, if, in case Televisa is asking too much money for those 13 channels, would you guys be willing to actually shut down those channels as you negotiate with them, or do you think you can reach a fairly good price for those channels, and approximately what range we should be expecting? Probably 40 cents, 50 cents, if you can give us an idea.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Bon, and you're not pushy. I mean, that's the big question that everybody has on that part. As you know, we're still negotiating with them, mostly with Televisa, which is the important one that has the reference. Azteca does not have a significant impact in our cost right now, so that's going to be passed through without any effect on the P&L of the system. In terms of Televisa, Televisa knows exactly what a company like Mega Cable pays, because of many reasons, but they know. You know, they own Cablemas, they have a big stock of a share of Cablevisión Monterrey, and they own Cablevisión Mexico. So they know what we're saying to the rest of the programmers. Our position is to be fair compared to what we pay in the market, and they need to get to market conditions in terms of those pay TV channels. They know, and we know exactly, because we have also the ratings of their channels in our system. We have an automated a system that tells us exactly what the subscribers is, and we know the importance. So what we are negotiating and talking to them is to pay a fair amount for those channels that will adapt to market conditions in several segments, like, let's say, the basic and the mini basic. You know, the lifeline service should not have all the channels that have the basic, for example, and that's part of our condition to negotiate with them. And we hope not to get to the point, but yes, to answer your question direct, you can be really, really sure that we're not going to pay $2. We're going to pay the fair market, and we see that they understand that, so we're confident to raise into an agreement. And if not, of course, we're willing. We're not going to continue to have that cost, that's for sure. That's why, in those words, I'm saying that yes, we're willing not to have those chances.
Okay, very well. So let me ask you about ratings, now that you are talking about that. Obviously your subscriber base keeps growing, and now that you will be able to launch cheaper channels, it is likely that you will grow at faster pace, which means that restricted channels, say Fox, Warner, whatever, are going to see ratings going up. So the first question I want to ask is, if you are seeing the ratings of restricted channels going up, second, if you guys keep a portion of the advertising time in restricted channels, for instance, if you keep a portion of the advertising time in Fox or Warner, like Televisa does, I understand Televisa retains from 30 to over 50% of advertising time on those restricted channels. I want to know if you guys do have that kind of agreement with the restricted channels, or if you do so through PC TV. So the question is, first, if you're seeing ratings going up, second, if you retain a portion of the advertising revenues, and third, how much is advertising right now as a proportion of your revenues? I guess last quarter you told me it was approximately 5% of your total revenues, if you can give us an update on that, and whether you are optimistic or not regarding the future of advertising in pay TV channels.
Well, ratings of the channels, we have exactly what the ratings are, like we said. We haven't taken away any channels or increased any new channels on that part significantly this year to see a difference in between them. You know, it's really, we can get into a conversation whether ratings is in triple A times, or it's across the date, or it's within the child segment, which has a strong position in ratings but does not help on publicity. We see that the mix of channels that we have in pay TV contributes, each of them, to a very significant and important segment of our subscribers. That's why we keep. If we don't see that we have, for example, three or four channels in the movie segment, and the other one coming from another programming has also a rating similar, but it's the fifth channel and does not contribute significantly to the price, we don't have it. In terms of taking that to publicity, all the channels we have in Mega Cable does allow us to have minutes of advertising. We use that to cross promotion of our service and to sell local advertising to the local SMB market on that part. We are not a company that sells Latin America advertising or national on that part. PCTV is the one that does that for us, and also the networks keep that sale of the publicity to the main advertising advertisers. We sell locally on that part. We do not expect that to change in any part of what we have.
It represents around 2% of our revenue.
2% of revenues.
No.
Okay. So to understand correctly, when, for instance, Fox or One, etc., what you are seeing is that the advertisers that look for national presence negotiate directly with them, but when it comes to local advertising, they go with you, right? I mean, so you guys want to remain, but I mean, your network is nationwide now, so wondering why are you guys not getting more aggressive on going with, the big advertisers like Coca-Cola, Gillette, whatever, Procter & Gamble, and why not going more aggressively after those advertisers, given the size of your network?
Because it's not efficient for them. The way that those nationwide advertisers buy is through the networks. Because, for instance, if they want to buy ESPN, they would buy direct to ESPN because that way they will be in all platforms. They will be in satellite, in all the cable systems, in all satellite and cable platforms. Otherwise, if they come to us, it would be only with Mega Cable subscribers. We would sell Coca-Cola advertising when they want to do a local, very focused campaign for a certain product of a pilot market. But we normally, for instance, Aeromexico or an airline, we would not sell them advertising for a nationwide campaign. We would maybe sell them advertising in case they want to advertise a certain destiny from Guadalajara to Culiacán, for instance, for both of the operators of cable is managed by us. So that is different. It's not. It wouldn't be efficient for a nation or broad advertisers to buy advertising from us. So we are mostly focused to local markets.
Okay, guys, thank you.
Thank you again. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Our next question comes from Homero Ruiz from Signum Research.
Hello, guys. Good morning. Well, congratulations for the great results. I want to ask you two questions. First one, I have perceived some deceleration in the construction of network kilometers. For the same quarter the last year, you achieved 12% in annual growth, and this time you achieved 8% growth. I wish to know if this tendency will continue or at which growing rate you think will converge.
Yes, okay, that's the question. Yes, indeed. We, like I said, we're more selective. Like you know, there is a strong, what we found is that the main segment growing in the last years were the lower economic levels. Houses that go from $25,000 to $30,000and $40,000 to $45,000. What we found is that we were in some regions of the country building those houses where the percentage of occupied home parks were low. So we were not receiving in some areas the return and the penetration we were expecting. So we tied a lot those segments. Also, the number of cons. You see what the problem in the market is with the builders in Mexico. The number of homes to be built are decreasing since we found that there are more of those home builds in the past that were not occupied and are resold to new people. We are targeted to increase penetration in those where we have. So yes, indeed, we are aware of that part and we are more selective to build where it makes economic sense.
So the idea is we have been building we have been building about, 3,600 kilometers of network. That's been around close to 9 to 8%. The problem is as we grow our network, the same amount of kilometers represent a lower percentage compared to the total of the network. But the target is to build around at least 3,600 kilometers of new network every year.
Okay, so 300...
3,600 kilometers, which is the 8% that you have there. What Luis is saying, that as a percentage, you know, we build pretty much the same number of kilometers, but as a percentage of the existing base, it decreases. We do not keep this year the same pace of growth in kilometers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you expect to be more consistent with the growing rate?
Yeah, we you can expect the 8%.
Okay, thank you. My second question is about the most tougher policy. I just wish to confirm that the programming cost will lower more than the subscriber fees, right?
Yes. What you ask is that you expect the most offer to bring a decrease in programming cost? Or price to the customer?
Okay, thank you. So yes. I think that were all my questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a
question,
it is star 1. Please press star 1 at this time. Our next question comes from Agustin Perez from J.P. Morgan.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. Congratulations on the great results. Stable growth and revenues given the digitalization of your network. Also, a higher revenue despite lower subscribers growth. So I was guessing if you could give us more color on the company's strategy for the second half of the year. Thank you.
Yes, let me tell you what we see. We see competition in all the segments. We learned that we need to bring more revenue from the system base of subscribers. We know that we need to go to the lower economic level with a lower ARPU product that will help us to reduce the churn, and that's what we're doing right now. The churn did increase because what I said, that we were more selective in those systems and we will be more selective with a lower revenue product. And we will continue to launch HD services, digitalize. We start digitalization again in 4 or 5 of our mid-sized systems. We increase the HD channel and we're launching the OTT. So those are part of our strategy. We're also ready at increasing our Metro Wi-Fi hotspot so subscribers can use our broadband service wireless in important points of the cities where we are, so they have also a new advantage and getting more use of the bandwidth they are paying with. Increasing the network capacity, like we said, both in GTAC, migrating subscribers from 5 to 10, those investments and those CAPEX are already taking and will continue to take place during the year. And the rest is targeting to the SMB that you have those results are part of the increasing of the revenue on the evidence. We will continue to put more efforts into selling to that segment. We will launch cloud products mostly by the beginning of next year, at the end of this year. But we have a really clear strategy to go in terms of transport, which means video, data, and voice to mid-sized businesses. So in general, that's our strategy. We did raise rates to subscribers during the first semester in double and triple play packages where we can. So we do not expect to get higher output because of rates. We expect to have higher output because of the 19% guidance of internet, the 11% on telephony. I'm getting that 8.5% subscribers in video. Increasing the second semester to what we have in the first semester, and again selling HD and additional set of boxes to them. That's our strategy. Very, very, very clear on that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. We are now holding for questions. We have a follow-up from Andreas Coelho from Scotiabank.
Guys, thanks so much for taking another question. Televisa will soon launch a new video on demand product. I think it will be called Veo, which will be competing with AMX's Claro Video. So I was just wondering if you guys have a strategy too for a similar product that would basically be online video on demand. Basically, just want to know if you guys will be launching something like this too. And if you see in this kind of Netflix and this kind of products a long term substitute for traditional pay TV services, obviously the subscribers need broadband in order to have these products. So I guess the outlook for broadband continues to be bright, but whether these Claro Video and Netflix and whatever can eventually substitute traditional pay TV services, or if you think it's more of a complement, and if you guys will launch something shortly.
Yes, Andres, thank you for asking. Yes, we see that non-linear or interactive video demand will increase years to come significantly, both on the internet side and the video world or the video set up of the digital like we have. Televisa has a Veo service with their platform and some of their content and content coming from other vendors or studios internationally. We have our own platform exactly because we see that there is a strong need in the near future for interactive services. We did invest in our own OTT and interactive video platform. We control that part. We receive the metadata and all the HD assets from the different studios and suppliers. Years ago, we used to receive part of our content from, for example, from a company called DLA. DLA was acquired from American Mobile. We now have another supplier that is independent from American Mobile and independent to Televisa, where we have contracts with them and with the studio directly. Some of them are direct, some of them are with other third-party companies. We do have also content coming from the deals that we have with Televisa and Tegaseca and the other programmers for the Cash Up and Nolinear. And our strategy, as well as them, is to have a platform that is interactive with our brand, which is Mega Cable, that's our video platform, that can have non-linear video services in a subscription program, both to internet subscribers and also to video subscribers, or both. This means that whoever is paying for that subscription platform can be watched on the internet if they are subscribed to Mega Cable, or on the video set-top if they have an interactive set-top in their home. we will launch and have that ready. We have that right now in some of our markets. Guadalajara, for example, is being penetrated really, really well. Our network of the last mile has the investment necessary to have that interactive contact with the subscribers. And we are just expecting to tie the launch of that SVOD platform on the internet side in the next 60 to 120 days to the rest. We do see that an SVOD package is going to be well adopted by the subscribers, and that's why we're doing that part. We have a strong advantage, and we have advantages with the Netflix platform that we want to be very clear on that part. We have we continue to have the pay-per-view movies. That means new releases before the OTT platform has it. That has an advantage for us. We also have the linear channels that we have on the pay TV platform that our subscribers can watch. Netflix do not watch that part. And we have the SVOD platform like they do have. Plus the catch up, like we said. That means we can record and provide within 7 days the same video content that they have on their pay TV linear. They can watch it non-linear within 7 days. So we have a very robust platform on that part. We do expect also to continue to sell, of course, in the several years to come. We continue to provide a video package consisting of several TV channels. I do not expect at my age to change that to non-linear. I expect to get to a home and pay a monthly revenue to have 50, 60, or 80 channels on that part. That's not going to change. It's going to be complemented, and probably, who knows, years to come, 5 to 10 years, everything will be nonlinear. We do not expect that to happen before 5 years, for sure, in that part. In any case, our platform in the video is ready. You know, our set-top boxes will allow to have that. We will continue to use and install HD interactive set-top boxes, plus the DOCSIS 3.0 internet service, increasing the bandwidth to have this video delivered to subscribers.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for asking me.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. We are now holding for questions. We do have a follow-up from Hermano Ruiz from Signum Research.
Hey, hello again, guys. I want to ask you one more question. You hold an important quantity of cash in your statement. Could you give us some general guidance for the future use of this money?
Okay, we normally keep a large amount in cash in just in case we have an acquisition opportunity. So that will continue for term period, and now it's not growing at the same pace it was on the previous years because we are now paying dividends. So it's just because of opportunities that we want to be sure that we have enough money to send a message that we are ready.
Part of the success we have is the strong balance sheet and the conservative policy we have at that point. Like Luis is saying, now we're paying dividends on that part, but we keep a good balance on the cash for everything that we see is helping and giving us an opportunity to grow. Cash will go to CapEx. CapEx will always be kilometers and CPEs and the projects that we're saying to increase the quality of our services, but will also remain strong so we can grow in terms of opportunities, like Luis is saying.
Okay, thank you. And is there any news about the possible acquisition of Telecable?
Yeah. Yes, we obviously we are always seeking for acquisition opportunities, and we are very aware of any process that is in the market, and we are participating in anything that is out there. We're looking at different small operators also. And our policy, our target is to grow, as I said in my intervention of the speech, at the beginning, we are always looking for acquisition opportunities and to grow our network in organically.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you again. If you would like to ask a question, it is star one. We are now holding for questions. We have no further questions. I would now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Yamuni for closing remarks.
Great. Thank you again for your time today and for the continued interest in Megacable during one of the most exciting times in our history. We look forward to your inquiries in the near future, and I wish you a very good afternoon. We're open for any more questions from email or phone calls. Thank you very much, and have a nice weekend.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines.